This is Alex Hightower.
And Lainey Mays.
And this is Do You Even Podcast, a podcast about everything you didn't know you wanted to know about podcasts. Do you even podcast?
Do you even podcast?
Hey.
Hello, everyone.
Happy September.
Happy fall, y'all. Oh,
yes. God, I'm ready. The weather has started to change. It's the most beautiful thing ever. I've been waiting.
Me too. We have a cinnamon broom in our house.
I was about to say, are we going to tell the people?
Because if you know us, or you know, Alex and I are roommates. And I went to Trader Joe's and I was like, would you be mad if I brought back a cinnamon broom?
And I was like, a cinnamon bun? Is that what you mean? She's like, no, a broom. And I was like, yes. Okay, bring it.
Just one cinnamon bun for us both to share. But I was like, no, a cinnamon broom. And I see this picture and I was like, please disregard that it's already in the cart.
It's I'd already delightful. Gotten
like three aisles away by that time.
She's like, I don't care what she says. We're getting it. And yeah, so now our house smells like fall. So you guys should all run out to Trader Joe's and get a cinnamon broom too.
I wish we had them as an ad sponsor because I am a Trader Joe's girl. Let me tell you.
I thought you were going to finish that sentence differently. What rhymes with
Joe? It's a family show. So welcome back. And if you're new here, we're ready to talk about podcasts with you. So I'm glad you joined us. If you're a returning fan, we're so glad you're back. And we have lots of recommendations. We have a fun interview at the end of the episode. We interviewed the Borrowed podcast, the Brooklyn Public Library podcast, because it is library card signup month. So Woo! We really wanted to give them a voice and tell us all about their process because they're doing really cool things. So if you're a fan of the library or even like a human interest part of a podcast, like you don't have to go to the Brooklyn Public Library to enjoy it. Like mm-hmm. It's just human interest and it's really, really sweet.
And I think we have like plenty to talk about. We both are book people, like at work. Lainey also has the lovely Library Love Fest podcast, which yes, I'm positioning on here. And so that's a great show you should listen to too if you haven't yet, and you can hear more of Lainey. But I think it was a really cool conversation because like Lainey said, it's a lot of human interest and you're really talking about people and connection and like building community. So really listen, guys, get excited. And we were so grateful to have them.
Yeah, it's fun. Let's see. Okay, what are we listening to, Alexandra?
Yeah. Okay. I have a couple things. One thing my friend sent me. So you guys should listen to the Wall Street Journal's podcast because they covered the Scholastic Succession drama. Did you listen to that?
No.
Oh, care. Okay. So it was really interesting. My friend who sent it to me used to work for Scholastic. So she like had a slight personal investment. But she was like, you should listen to this to hear what happened. Essentially, and I remember seeing this in the news, the CEO passed away kind of unexpectedly. He was definitely older. And he hadn't talked to anyone about like his plan of like who would take over. But historically, Scholastic was passed down through family. So I think his father started it. It was passed down to him. And so everyone was expecting him to keep it in the family. He's always been like, I'm not going to sell. That's really important to me. Like to a bigger publisher or anything like that. Like I want to kind of like keep Scholastic, you know, independent. When they found his will, it didn't go to any of his family. It did not go to like his sons or his ex-wife. It actually went to a woman named Yole Lucchese. I think that's how you say it. She worked at Scholastic too and worked up the ranks. She became, I think, the executive vice president, but they also were romantically involved at one point. So this podcast was really interesting because they talked about like the shock that everyone had when they found out like who everything was going to. In addition to the company, all of his personal property went to her. So just like when they were talking to it and uncovering all of this information, it just felt like a lot more dramatic than I was expecting. But it's a really good lesson. Like it's interesting to hear them dig into it and talk about kind of everyone's reactions and like what's going to happen with Scholastic. So yeah, slightly publishing centric, but honestly, I feel like anyone would be a little bit interested in it for sure.
I feel like if you ask anyone like a publisher they know, Scholastic's usually one of people's first well, go to.
Yeah, it was really cute in the beginning because I think they opened it like, what are you, was it like, what's your favorite Scholastic book? Or like, then they talked about the Scholastic book fairs because I think there's that sort of experience that a lot of people have had. They mentioned Clifford the Big Red Dog. So yeah, I think it's iconic enough that even non-publishing people might have an interest. Yeah. It's a good listen for sure.
So I know Alex and I are both big fans of Kim's Convenience. And yes, then we went to see Shang-Chi, so that was fun.
Yeah, yeah.
But so you can, if you are interested in Simu Liu or in his life, you should listen to Anna Faris's Unqualified because she interviewed him and it was really interesting. I enjoyed it. I liked learning more about him, but also just to like see their dynamic because he is kind of relatively new to this fame thing. Like he had a lot of other jobs before, like Jimmy Fallon even made fun of his stock image start of his career. So it was just interesting to hear like a veteran and a newbie talk, and it was really fun. One thing I wanted to mention is Ai Wei with Jamila Jamil. She talked to Beth Stelling, who's like one of my favorite comics. Mm-hmm. And Beth has a podcast herself, which I might mention later in the show. And she talked to her a lot about, I mean, it's about like body image and like things like that and kind of how that wraps around their fame. But she talked a lot about being kind of a face of kind of the Me Too and comedy for a while and like getting asked questions that were inappropriate. And it was really interesting, things I didn't know. And if you haven't heard her stand up, you got to listen. It's so good. And then speaking of stand up, Alex, I need to discuss.
That was one of mine. Yes. All right, go for it, girl.
Okay.
Let's do it.
The Good One episode. I told you, I came in the room. I was like, I can't wait for Bo Burnham's Good One if he's ever interviewed, because he has been interviewed before on the podcast at like a live event, but he doesn't do a lot of media. Weirdly enough, he was on Anna Faris's Unqualified. He was on that episode a while back, but he doesn't do a lot of interviews. And so I was like, are they going to get him? Like, Jesse David Fox, come on. Like, this is a Good One podcast. But they didn't interview him yet. They've only had like a roundtable discussion of the special. If you haven't seen the special and you don't know Bo Burnham, where have you been? But if you don't know Bo Burnham, he has a new special on Netflix, and it's really kind of revolutionary because he does a virtual environment where he records things and adds music. And he's always done music, but it's really interesting because it's all insular within his house. Like, there's no audience. So it's really, really cool and kind of experimental, but it's really good. I like listen to it as just an album. It makes me laugh, but I just like to listen to the music. So he did this special. It's his third, after kind of famously giving up comedy. And he came back and did this special, and they did a roundtable about it. And I did not agree with everything they said. And I thought it was interesting because, Alex, I told you, I think if he was there being interviewed, they would have a very different approach to it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You listened? You finally did?
I did. Yeah, I listened to it. Yeah, it was like a little bit surprising. Also, I don't listen to Good One frequently. So like this is, I think I may have listened to one other episode. So I'm not super familiar with them. And then again, this was like a roundtable discussion, which was interesting. There were a lot of different perspectives. And yeah, there were just some that I was like, I didn't really think about that way. There were some things that they pointed out that did make me think. True. Like we talked about White Woman's Instagram and how, I don't know, they really dissected it. And so there was a part at the end that like I noticed, but I didn't like pay attention to in that way. And I was like, okay, like, oh, that's like a very like interesting kind of sensitive take. But there were other parts that they were looking at, like some of the
30.
So for the 30 song, I can't remember which person it was, but there was someone on there who like their take on it.
About how it was about him. It was
right.
Like, that's what I think upset me the most about it, because it was like, I'm of two camps. Like as a comedian, it is important to talk about your own experience because that's how you deal with pressure, and you don't want to be lying because then people are going to think you're like, I get that camp of like, it needs to be reflected of your own life to a degree. Mm-hmm. But also like you're doing comedy and it doesn't have to be word for word something that happened to you. It can just be a take on the world and like writing. And so the song 30, I'm sure most people know it, but it's about turning 30 and how like he hasn't accomplished anything, but his grandfather went to war when he was his age. Like it's funny, but it's also like it connects with people in a way that's like, oh, I really do feel old turning 30 and you're not ready for it. You don't feel like you should be that old. And so that's what you take away from it. I didn't end thinking like, oh, Bo Burnham's life is so sad. He's turning 30 and he has fame. But that's what they thought. And I was like, I don't think we should hold him to this is his feelings on it. I think it's just a general like anxiety is what he's trying to get across.
And I think people can relate to it in different ways. And like that is going to be the beauty of it, because if, you know, you look at every piece and you're like, no, this is him. Like this has to be like 100% his experience in whatever way, then you're going to be so limited, like as a comedian, if that's going to be the approach of every joke. So I just found that like, that's not how I took it. I didn't like see it that way, like saying that about him either. It was just kind of surprising. And I know you even framed it for me, but I was listening. I was like, huh.
I mean, I don't always get along with pop culture happy hour. And I felt very much attacked like I was in those episodes. And anyway, everybody can have their own opinion. Yes. And maybe I'm too much on the side of I'm a fangirl for Bo Burnham. And I get that. But I was just a little disappointed in it.
And I know. I really enjoyed the special. So I think like I encourage you to watch the special for yourself and see what you think, but also maybe listen to this. I'm really curious what other people think about it too, and like what sort of camp they fall into. It was interesting. Very interesting. Thank you for the rec, Lainey.
Yeah. I'm glad we could discuss it.
Yes.
And then just like one extra comedy centric one, you know, Norm MacDonald passed away this week when we're recording. And so, you know, as I do with everything, I try to figure out life through podcasts. And I was like, I want to hear him speak. And it just happened to be that WTF with Marc Maron, they re-aired an episode from 2011. Oh, nice. So you can get a little bit more info on him.
That's really good. Yeah, that's a good rec. I only have one other thing. It's really small. Lainey, I know, like, I remember you've listened to, I think, and rec the Slowdown podcast. I just know that the poet Ada Limón is tapped as the new host of it. And the season's coming back September 21st. So really good timing. I saw that, like, the other week. So definitely go listen. It's a really great pod if you appreciate the written word or even the spoken word.
The Daily, I don't know if you listened today, but put out one called A Broadway Show Comes Back to Life.
No, but that sounds really touching.
Really emotional because it's Six and I'm going to see Six very soon.
It's
the first one back that I'm seeing, and it opened on the 17th today when we're recording. So
that's beautiful.
It's very exciting. Okay, and I just wanted to tell you that there's a How Did This Get Made for Furious 9, and it really touched me. Because, you know, it's like, I'm not a fan. We saw a movie not too long ago, and we were like, how did this get made? And they made an episode, so we're not alone. People hate them.
That's so funny.
Well, I don't want to say hate them, because they might not. But they definitely see how it's flawed. And so they had Adam Scott on. Of course, there's Paul Scheer and June Diane Raphael, and Jason Mendoza is in it. But and they're hilarious all the time. Like, Jason makes me laugh so hard.
Yeah.
In every episode, but they had Adam Scott on to talk about it. And it was really funny because it was like everything we were saying, we're like, we didn't discuss any feeling. Right. Like, this is a dude show, not to be general, but it really was where it's like, we're just going to skate past all of these like betrayals. Like,
let's we're talk cool about now? This. Like, are we good? What? Y'all went through trauma, technically, if you really think about it.
I mean, I'm all here for like blowing things up and racing, but like, let's actually have a good plot in the bottom. But anyway. So that was interesting. And then quickly, Alex, I found out that Elle Mills, you know, she's
Our fave from,
If you guys don't know, she was on Vine. She's like a big YouTube star. Like, she's hilarious. And Michelle Platy, which I don't know, but they had a podcast now called Crazy Stupid Fangirls.
That's really cute.
Really fun. Like, they just bring on people that they love and they fangirl over them. So they have.
So, like, what we do with podcasts.
Pretty much.
But with people.
Pretty much. We need to get them on this show.
We should. Putting that in the memory bank.
Yeah. And then they've had, like, Krista Allen, you know, from 13 Going 30. She's big on TikTok now. But they had her on the show. And so they just talked about, like, what it was like to be in the show and, like, have her crush on this scene and, like, what, you know, like, what all that was like. They've had Matt King, another Vine favorite of ours.
Yeah.
That one was funny. They've just had some fun people on. So
that's cute.
I would suggest listening to them. And then the only other thing that has kind of made me – I did go – speaking of Vine stars, I did go back and listen to some more Podcast But Outside. Small plug, because if you need a laugh, someone asked me for a podcast that'll give them a laugh, and I told them Podcast But Outside. We had them on the show. Hilarious. And I just, that's what I needed it that day. I don't listen every week, but I needed it that day. So I don't know if you're familiar with Justin Moore. He's this country singer. So if you're not a big country fan, you're not going to know him anyway. I'm not really either, but I just know him because he's a family friend from when I was growing up. Like, more his family. Like, we knew his family really well. And, like, his dad was always so nice. And his aunt was, like, always there for me when I was at school. She worked at the school. And she, just surrogate aunt. Like, they're so nice. Yeah. And he has a podcast. Like, he's a country music star. A big deal. But he has a podcast called the Justin Moore Podcast. And actually, I told my dad when I was home, I was like, did you know that Justin Moore had a podcast? Because I didn't know that. And he's like, yeah, he's like on the radio sometimes. So what? I think he like is syndicated. I'm not sure. But just a shout out because he like talks to other people. I think he had – I hope I'm not wrong in saying – I think he had – he has like a lot of people from his shows or like – when he's on the road, other artists come on and managers. Yeah, he had Matthew McConaughey on. So, oh, wow. Like, yeah. So if you're a country music fan or if you are just interested in that world because he's like on the road on one of them, that might be of interest to you. Also, it's just a family friend and like it's nice that it's my only famous person I know. But
we'll take it. No, that's really cool.
Yeah. But he is really nice and I'm excited to hear more of it. And also it's very comforting because I feel like his accent is like, I'm at home.
You're home.
Right. It feels very like down home, like they're just talking as friends. Anyway, so just a little shout out to them if you're into country music.
No, that was a lot of good recommendations and a little bit of news in there too. So definitely go listen.
And, you know, obviously like the regular ones are in rotation, but those are some one-offs. And I mean, maybe it's time for our BYOP. Bring your own podcast.
Bring your own podcast. I like these little theme songs. Just switch them up all the time.
So if you're new here, we each rotate. So once every month we'll rotate and Alex will bring or I will bring a podcast that the other one doesn't know, complete secret. And then we tell them about it and they ask questions and it's a deep dive. It's fun. So Alex is this month. What did you bring for us? What's your show and tell?
Yeah, my show and tell for the class today is a podcast I found out about through TikTok because why not? but it's called South Lake. I don't know if you've heard of
South
it.
Lake.
Mm-hmm. South Lake. It's from NBC News. Yay. I always love it when I'm like, phew, she hasn't heard of this. This will be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really interesting. I guess I'll talk about how I found it. I was on TikTok scrolling as one does. Mm-hmm. And this video came up and it's like a serious podcast. So it's not light and fluffy like those kinds of TikToks. sorry. Just want to preface that. No, it's not true crime.
That's not like you. Okay.
That's not me. That's not in my
I'm sorry to that podcast, but
I wouldn't know a thing.
Wouldn't know a thing. Okay.
So yeah, I was scrolling through TikTok and then this account came up. And the account is Southlake ARC, Southlake Anti-Racism Coalition. And it had this girl and she was just talking like to the camera and basically saying like, you guys might have seen things in the news about Southlake and maybe you heard about this new podcast that came out that's about like the issues our community is facing. Essentially, in this TikTok, the girl was talking about when Southlake launched, the Southlake School Board received a really wild email that criticized this podcast. And here is why. So the show just started a few weeks ago. Basically, it's focused on back in 2018. There was this video of students at Southlake Carroll High School in Texas, which is this kind of like idyllic, like really kind of like community-centric suburb. This video came out of these high school students, white students who were chanting the N-word. It went like hit the news. People were talking about it. A lot of the parents and the students in the community wanted to essentially start a coalition to really fight back and make changes. And they called it the Cultural Competence Action Plan. But really, like, it also spawned this larger discussion about like critical race theory and really like what is the place of like having conversations in school and people's stances on it. So it's a really interesting show, but obviously, I don't know. It gets very emotional, but it's really focused like specifically on like this community of Southlake and really looking mostly at the high school, but honestly like the school system in that area. So the TikTok the girl was talking about, this email that the school board got like just after the podcast launched, where someone proposed having a thank you white people day and was basically saying like,
all the things. Now that's not what we're not going to do now. That's
all the things that were wrong with like the podcast and the effort. And so at the time I just liked it. I was like, what is this? I'm going to go back and look. And so then I actually went and found the podcast and listened to it. So thank you, TikTok. But yeah, the show is really interesting, really well done. It's NBC News, so it's going to be highly produced. It's hosted by a national reporter named Mike Hixenbaugh and an NBC News correspondent named Antonia Hilton. They're both really great. They do a lot of interviews. They've done a lot of research. They've done a lot of outreach too, to try and gather as many facts as they can, to get as much audio as they can, and also speak to people who were affected, you know, when this video came out, but even, you know, parents who are there now and like what these current responses are. But yeah, right now, I think as of this recording, there's 4 episodes out. And I think they're going to continue to do more. Each one is like between 35 to 40 minutes. So it's actually like really easy to binge and kind of whip through, except for the fact that it is a little bit heavy at times. So it really is kind of on your emotional bandwidth, but like they're very short. And again, since they're produced so well, you kind of zip through them. They open the show kind of talking to one parent named Robin. And it's interesting how they approach it, because they really want to show, you know, that this is a community where like there is, for some people, and mostly I'd say like white people in this community, that people are really like close knit. But then it kind of opens it to show like some of the micro and macro aggressions that people of color were facing in the community. But you enter it hearing from this woman named Robin who moved to Southlake. Her husband was a Dallas Cowboys player. He was really excited about moving to the town. They brought their children, enrolled them in the school system. And initially, you know, there were like little comments and things that would happen, but they were like, this is a really good school system. Like, this is really like a place we want our children to be and to try and thrive and get to good schools later. Her husband passed in 2008, I think. So they talked to her about that, which was really sad and like really hard to listen to, actually. And the community afterwards built like a plaque in his honor, which was really special. And then I think a few years later, though, unfortunately, it was vandalized with a racist threatening message. And so, yeah, it was, that was also upsetting to listen to. But she was talking about like when they went past the plaque, she was going to show it to some of her family and they saw this and like some of the other like conversations that sort of opened up. Then she begins to talk a little bit about like her children in the school system and some of the comments that they had. And that all led to having this meeting with parents where other parents, not just Robin, but other ones were talking about their experiences and their children's experiences. Not long after, I think that's when the clip that went viral in 2018 like got out. It was originally on Snapchat. Someone must have like saved it or whatever, and it made its way to Twitter. And then, you know, like it hit like the news media, and then, you know, there was a lot more focus on Southlake, even from like people outside of Southlake. What was interesting about the show is it really does like capture different people's perspectives. So while that first one does focus, you know, like on the idea of community, it focuses on Robin and her experience. And then the next one has a different girl named Raven. And that's where they really talk about in that second episode, the clip itself, Raven's experience within the school as a student. She actually recorded some audio from a time she had to talk to the principal about another student who was using racial epithets. And again, very difficult to listen to. Really important to have audio of that to like understand, you know, like how insidious it is. But again, you know, kind of looking at Raven's experience as like a young person within this community, her trying to fight to make change. The show sort of moves from 2018 up to 2020 with like a lot of the protests that started to happen after George Floyd's murder, and just how it affected this town too. And then the third and fourth episodes that are currently out, I'm really curious to see where the show goes after that. But the third and fourth ones look at the parental response to the action plan that the school wanted to do. And then also really does look at CRT in the fourth one. They talk to one of the founding scholars of CRT to get, you know, like her take on like what it is and why it's important. And then also other like celebrities and personalities who really brought a lot of attention to Southlake. So it's really interesting. They look at it from so many angles. and the NBC News site has the episodes. They have more like news articles about it. They have behind the scenes info. You can see like the hosts and everything. But I just really like how it offers like different perspectives and really like these inside perspectives of these people who are there and experiencing everything or had experienced everything. I just found it really interesting also because it just like made me think about a lot of the things that or the conversations that we were having back at my private school, especially in June 2020 and like through the fall. There were action plans and initiatives that we were trying to work on and to raise. There were Instagram accounts that like students were trying to really just show what their experience was. So it was the anonymous messages that people would send in about things that they saw or things that happened to them and just making that a lot more visible. But then also it made me think about like the pushback that we got when we were doing all of that. And just what's upsetting is the fact it wasn't, you know, obviously isolated to us or like our like private schools in Atlanta. You know, it's something that is happening, unfortunately, everywhere. And just seeing that, you know, there are all these different grassroots initiatives that people are trying to do. I think it's great that this is like bringing attention to what's happening in Southlake because, you know, this is still in discussions. Episodes are coming out and they're still talking about what the students and the parents are fighting for. So it'll just be interesting to see the rest of the show as it continues.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's a really good. Interesting one. Yeah, it was really good. Really well done.
Southlake is I lived in Dallas for a summer and every time I go like we go shopping, I don't know if I can forge Southlake shopping, but it's nice to go to. So yeah. It's definitely a ritzy area and I could see how that might play a part in that.
Like class.
When you said Southlake, I was like, oh, it's obviously Texas. Like I was like, oh, I knew right away.
You're like that Southlake.
So is it, it's NBC, right?
Yeah, NBC News. They put it out.
So is it a local person covering it or is it like a major, like a somebody from the head? Because I just wondered if like NBC has offices and if it's someone who lives around there that's hosting it or just kind of in general.
So I don't, so the two people are a national reporter and a NBC News correspondent. And I don't think that they are from there, but I should check and just see. But I don't think so. I'm pretty sure
the New York
not.
Times where they have people in different states. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. Honestly, like I feel like anyone who likes any sort of like slightly investigative show or show that does talk about like race and class, you'd like this. Like Throughline also does really great like immersive shows that I feel like do a lot of research and like definitely if you're a fan of that, you like this. I listen to United States of Anxiety, which I really like, and that also talks a lot about like our country and like systems, like classism and racism as well. So I feel like if you like that, you like it.
Less true crime, but like Dateline or like anything investigative that's not too intense.
Yeah, not too
which NBC
bloody.
They do it well. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, have they had students on?
So, how many, like, what's
the ratio? I guess maybe my question is, what's the ratio for students and like parents slash people in the community?
Well, so it's interesting from what I've heard from these, it's been like a mix for sure. The first episode was like a parent, like it was mostly focused on Robin, who is a parent. But they also have like clips and stuff from like previous newsreels. And I think from like the different like parent like conferences where a bunch of different parents were coming in and speaking about their experiences. So you hear from a lot of people, but it's really interviewing Robin. Then they focus a lot on students in the second episode or former students when like this was happening. So there's a few different ones they talk to. There are both girls. They talk to Raven, who I believe is the one who recorded audio in the principal's office. That was like very telling. And they talked to a couple other girls in that episode too. But then in the later ones, they also talk to like one of the founding scholars again of CRT. So like they'll talk to her too. They'll get like other like researchers and people like that. But they definitely did reach out to students. They did get some, but they also mentioned they reached out to a lot of students, did not get responses. They reached out to some previous principals and did not get responses. So they note that as well. But it is good that they're like actually talking to like some of the previous students. And then anything with minors, they don't like mention names, anything like that.
Just interesting how people are so adverse to listening to people who actually have that experience, minus like, it's fine because I see that it's all good. And it's like, that's just not the reality. Yeah. And, like, listen to people. Even if that is the case or not, like, you still can listen and hear people out and put in directives so that you can get to a place where everyone feels comfortable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's like, obviously, like you see from the show, people are experiencing the system and the school system in very different ways. And so if it's a negative experience for some students, like you have to make changes to make that better. So I'm excited to, like I said, hear more episodes and see where the rest of the show goes. And thank you, TikTok.
That makes a difference. Yeah. See, when I'm scrolling, I'm really doing research for the podcast.
I am. I'm working.
That's how I learned about Elle Mills podcast.
So yeah. No, it totally works. I mean, I have so many saved TikToks where I'm like, I'm going to look back at that product, or I'm going to look back at that TV show. Right. So it's kind of scary.
That's interesting. Thanks, Alex.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And you can find it anywhere. I'm pretty sure it's on like Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, all of it. So go out and listen, y'all.
So without further ado, let's get into our interview.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be so good. I'm so excited about it, guys. It was really great talking to the Borrowed team. They were lovely.
Listen up.
Hi, everyone. I am very, very excited to welcome a special podcast to our pod this month. We are joined by the producer and the host of Borrowed. So hello, hello, hello to Virginia Marshall, Adwoa Duse, and Krista Corbett-Kavouras. Hello, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Hello. How are y'all?
Good. It is a hot Friday.
It is a hot Friday. I'm glad we're recording indoors.
Pretty good.
So this is the perfect pod for September because it is Library Card Sign Up Month, and we just want to celebrate y'all. We want to celebrate the work that you do on this fantastic show, and I'm excited for our listeners to have a peek at a show you might not have heard about. So Borrowed is a podcast all about stories that start at the library. It's really a narrative podcast from the Brooklyn Public Library that's about superhero librarians, neighborhood stories, and what it means to be a free, democratic place in today's changing world. The show is focused on stories about libraries during natural disasters, intellectual freedom at the public library, the challenges of homelessness, New York City's fraught relationship with trash, and so many more topics. It's a great one. It launched back in February of 2019, and there are 3 seasons, nearly 50 episodes. So as we love to share with you guys, it's another bingeable podcast. And the episodes run about 20 to 30 minutes. So, you know, it's really digestible. When I first found the show, I was just kind of binging them myself too. They have 4.9 stars on Apple Podcasts, so they're loved. And you can find them on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, wherever else you feed your podcast addiction. Another great perk is that there are transcripts and pictures available for all of the episodes on their website. So definitely make sure to check that out at www.bklynlibrary.org/podcast. You can also find the Brooklyn Library on Twitter and Instagram at bklynlibrary, and also feel free to email them at podcast@bklynlibrary.org. I'm sure they would love to hear from you. I know we're going to cover some really great ground in this episode. So before we toss some questions to you three, I want to read your bios because you guys do great work and you deserve to have the shout out. So Virginia Marshall, I'm going to start with you. Virginia's the producer. Virginia came to Brooklyn Public Library from WBUR, Boston's NPR news station, and she's helped launch the podcast Ministry of Ideas. She's also written for Harvard Review, The Normal School, The Millions, Brevity, and other places. Very accomplished. Adwoa Duse is one of the hosts of Borrowed. Adwoa is a native New Yorker, has been with the BPL since 2015, so pretty impressive. She should have known she would be a librarian from an early age, but tempted fate seeking out titles like artist, curator, dancer, designer, teacher, and activist. And as a librarian, she gets to be all of these and more. I love that. And at the Brownsville Library, where she is a supervisor, Adwoa produces the Brownsville Excerpts podcast with the help of other librarians, community members, and volunteers. And Krista Corbett-Kavouras is also a host of Borrowed. She's a librarian by training and a marketer by trade, currently as the director of engagement for Brooklyn Public Library's marketing and communications team, which basically means she cares a lot about open rates. When she's not working, she reads fiction about complicated women and listens to podcasts about culture, half-heartedly trains for half marathons, me too, and hangs out with her husband and son in Sunset Park, Brooklyn. Those are great bios. We're so happy to have all of you here on the show today. And we just have some questions. So without any further ado, I want to take it back just to the origins. I'd love for you to share with our listeners how you guys came together on this particular project. And since we love all things podcast here, really, like, what was the inspiration for going the podcast route versus, you know, other types of media?
Maybe I'll start, since I'm sort of the first person to have started the pushing the ship into the water. I've been on the marketing team at BPL for almost 7 years now, and a podcast addict for a lot longer. So I think when our chief librarian came to us and said, hey, do you think we should have a podcast? I think everyone on the marketing team said yes very quickly and loudly. And we set about from there being really intentional about what that would look like what kind of podcast did we like and not like. And we very quickly realized we would need to hire someone. Like, we just didn't have the skill set in house. We didn't want to do it halfway. If it was going to be the flagship podcast for the fifth biggest library system in the US, it should be really good. So we actually started by hiring, and we looked for someone who we thought would understand the type of institution we are and be flexible and brilliant at their job. And we are very lucky to have found Virginia, who is both. And it was with Virginia that we started crafting what kind of podcast we wanted to be. And then I was very surprised to be asked to host it. I just wanted to help launch a podcast. I think I over displayed my obsession and somehow got myself in. And so we had our first season. We knew that my co-host should be a librarian in one of the branches in order to tell the story. So we had a wonderful librarian named Felice Bell in our first season. And then when she left BPL for another great role somewhere else, we had the awesome experience of getting to think about who our next dream host would be. And that's Adjoa.
Oh. That was great, Krista.
I mean, I love this because it's like a meeting of everything I love together. And my day job, I work with librarians all over the country because I work for HarperCollins in the adult space. And we have a podcast. And so pretty much I just get to do all of the loves that I have. And now I get to kind of bring it to this too. So I knew it was library card sign up month. I was like, we have to bring, there's so many libraries and podcasts are perfect for the library. And there are so many out there doing such cool things. And you guys were like top on the list. I was like, I have to get them in. And I really find it interesting because you guys, like, the books are not always the focus. And I think patrons who maybe don't use a library as much or understand everything a library is doing in the background may not understand, you know, the programs. I think a lot of people do, but there might be some out there. And so if even a patron that does use it all the time, their first thought might be books. Like, what books are we talking about? Like, what are you reading? And so what was that thought process? What was that thought process for, like, what you want to focus on in the podcast? Like, did that change from the beginning, or has it just always been more about, like, the programs that are happening? I'm not saying books aren't there, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Books are not the point sometimes. Yeah. No, I think Krista, like, summed it up really well when she's talking about what we wanted to do going in, like being very intentional about telling the story of the library. And I think what's really cool about Brooklyn Public Library is that it is so many things. There's programs for everything under the sun. There's, like, cooking stuff. There's something for every age person alive. And I don't know, books are amazing. And I think a lot of us obviously get into work at the library because we love reading. But then once you arrive, you see that there's so many other stories. And, like, being in a library space, you just feel like you're a part of Brooklyn in a way. Like, I can't think of any other place in the borough where you just feel like the history of the place, and you feel the community, and you feel that the way that people relate to each other, and, like, often they're coming together over books, but also they're meeting about their block association in the meeting room, and they're, you know, trying to help each other, like, come out of incarceration and get jobs. So I think we were excited to tell those stories and to use books as, like, you know, they're always there and you can always read more about the things that we're talking about, but libraries are made up of people, and we wanted to center on people in our podcast.
I think that's beautiful. So what I do love is that, like you were saying, your episodes cover so much. There's so much programming that's really rich. And I think that is because libraries are made of people, whether you're a librarian, you're patrons, and that human connection is just so special. So there's so many, like, avenues that you can enter to talk about a community, essentially. So speaking of, you know, how we're all people, we're very complex individuals going through complex situations. I did notice you launched back in February 2019, as mentioned, and obviously so much has happened since February 2019. So I'm curious, you know, even just going through what we're still in it, a pandemic, and how that's, you know, changed some of your recording or your approach. I remember I was listening to an episode and you mentioned, oh, this was luckily recorded when we could meet in person, but I'm sure, you know, even little things like that are different now. So what has kind of changed for you, or what have you learned since, you know, recording during a pandemic and producing during a pandemic?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out the timeline. The first season started February of 2019, and then I came on that fall. So I feel like most of my time with you two has been from recording at home, oddly enough, which is pretty crazy. And I just thinking about the beginning, I was so nervous and like, so like, this has to be perfect. And like, you know, it's scripted, but it's not scripted. And we have to be like funny and casual and like just lots of pressure that way. But then just thinking about the last year and a half, it's like, I've been recording from home. Like the quality has gone up, it's gone down in terms of the sound, you know, and it's like an old hat now. And the earlier fears are not as strong as they were before. But early on, it was like very scripted. And we would have conversations about, you know, how we wanted to frame the episodes. But they were all fairly similar. And they always ended with book recommendations and started with a story at the library. And then we were no longer really at the library, right? We were trying to cover all the ways that libraries were bringing resources to people outside of their our branches. So yeah, it's been a wild last year. And it's anything that sounds good right now is down to Virginia, like wrangling folks over Zoom and through different apps. And yeah.
But I was going to say too, Adra, that during this time, like you've stepped in more to a writing role. Actually, Krista and Adra both have, but I think Adra a little more strongly because we've been like, how do we serve our patrons right now? Like Adra was not in a branch. Now she's back in a branch and we'll have a lot of stories about how, you know, crazy it is to be back there right now. But having you guys like script more of the stuff before, I had been writing everything and like deciding, you know, what we were going to talk about and who we were going to talk to, and working with the two of you on putting more of those episodes together has been just so fun. And we're coming up on our fourth season, our mini series season, like at the end of September we'll launch. So this is really exciting timing for us to be talking to you guys, because we're doing something really fun and different, which is talking about different neighborhoods in Brooklyn and digging into this immense oral history archive that we've come into at Brooklyn Public Library through the merging with the former Brooklyn Historical Society, which is now called the Center for Brooklyn History. We have like hundreds of hours from the 1970s onward about people talking about what it's like to live in their neighborhoods, when they came there, you know, tensions between different communities and different neighborhoods, like all of this really interesting, rich stuff. We're using that because it's something that like you don't have to, there's not much in-person programming right now, like there's story times outside. We're trying to do a lot, but we're trying to also offer people something that they can listen to wherever and feel connected to the history of their places. And so, yeah, recording has been all over the place, but I think we have taken this time to like look more back at what the library has in terms of telling like a longer story of the borough, knowing like where we've come from. I feel like this past year has also taught us that, you know, there are a lot of fraught tensions between people like everywhere and especially, you know, including in Brooklyn. And so being able to talk about that and say like, you know, the library is a place where you can learn about this has been really fun.
That was such a great teaser.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited for this series. And do you, have those audio clips and stuff ever been, are they available to people or will this be kind of the first time?
Yeah, they've actually always been online, which is wild. Wow. And that's great. Like something really cool that podcast can do is just say like, hey, this thing has always been here. We're going to make it more digestible for you in this episode, but it's always there. Yeah.
I feel like you guys need some kind of crossover with Eric Marcus, who is a good friend of ours.
Yeah.
I don't know if you listen to Making Gay History. He's based in New York, but have you heard of it? He does like all of those audio archives.
Yeah.
A little bit. But I just feel like that's what the theme of that one was very much like podcasts can be a digital archive, which is kind of crazy because a lot of the things that, you know, you could see in a library, they're an archive. Like no one, unless you go to a long time ago, unless you go to the library, you're not going to see it. And what podcasts do are just like really stretch who gets to hear that. And so I'm very excited. Very cool. Kudos. I'm excited. So some of your episodes are very intimate. And one example I think we, Alex and I both thought of is the one on burnout. Appreciated how honest interviewees were about the difficult experiences that they're having and how burnout is a big thing. And so what considerations do you take when connecting with librarians and having them open up, whether it's in their projects or endeavors or more personal pieces?
For that episode in particular, we just really tried to come at it with care and like understanding and just asked them whether or not they felt comfortable. And if anything was uncomfortable, you know, letting them know we didn't have to record it or show it or share it with the public. But I think also with librarians, and not to like feed into the superhero librarian thing too much, but we do want to give of ourselves maybe sometimes a little bit more than people think. And, you know, it's not about crossing boundaries, but we want people to know that like we're in it with them and we're using the same resources that they are and we're not here to judge anyone. And so if we can shed light on our personal stories and how the work affects us, then we think that's a way that, you know, we'll get that across. In the same vein, like we've had librarians share, you know, things that they do on the side outside of work and their hobbies. And like that's a part of the same like sort of pulling back the veil on librarianship. And I think we've been able to do that a lot more in this last year because people have been working at home and grappling with what it means to be in the profession as well as what it means to just live your life fully. And so, you know, the counter to the burnout episode was that episode where it was like, or two counters, the good news episode and then the one where it's like the secret lives of librarians. So again, we don't, pulling back the veil on librarianship. We are human. We're part of the stories that started the library.
I loved the secret lives of the library. I think that is the title. I really loved that episode. Cause I think it is, it's like a nice reminder of like, we all contain multitudes. So I think even like for me and Lainey, there's, you know, overlap between like what we do sometimes on the podcast and what we do at work, but it's nice to have like those other pieces to you and those other hobbies. So when you are like giving to others, whatever your job is, you still have these like pleasures for yourself. And the hobbies were so interesting and diverse. So I really did enjoy that one. I thought it was great. I'm curious also, you know, listenership and fans of the pod. I know, or I'm assuming that you guys get, you know, local support. So I'm curious like what those interactions have been like, you know, whether it's like within Brooklyn or within New York, if you, you know, heard from people maybe outside of the state. And what that response has been.
I think one of the funny things about doing this work, and you guys maybe feel this too, is that, you know, podcasts can be actually kind of a very one-way medium where, you know, you're putting it out there and then you're like, I don't know, hope you liked it. Like, thanks for listening to the void, you know.
Sometimes,
But what I really love, I think the most, is when someone in Australia emails us and is like, I love your podcast. And we're like, how did you find us? You know, but really trying to both be hyper local, because Brooklyn is what we know. And also keep in mind that Brooklyn as a brand, that's kind of a gross thing to say, but it's true. It certainly has been a thing that other people capitalize on, and us starting a podcast, kind of part of the impetus was like, if Brooklyn's going to be a brand, we're going to be part of telling it, and we're going to tell it in a highly democratic, you know, highly street level way. We're going to try and tell the story of every part of Brooklyn rather than just it just being this word that people attach to cool, you know? So I think that's why I love it when we hear from readers. And, you know, we can see to some extent who our listenership is, and they are obviously mostly local, but not exclusively local. And that always makes me happy because I want the podcast to be able to tell the full story of what Brooklyn is as a borough, particularly to people who've never been here. But I think my favorite thing is when locally is when like librarians at BPL, who I think are honestly in a lot of ways our biggest audience, like they love to hear these stories. They love to realize that their neighborhoods are in these stories. And then they're just so excited and they're telling their patrons about it. And that just makes me very happy because, you know, we are a 60 branch institution. Like it can be really big sometimes, but it's made up of one, you know, each library is in one neighborhood. It's not in 60 neighborhoods.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good point, Krista. I was actually going to say a similar thing, which is that like our most enthusiastic listeners are people who like are on the podcast too. Like it's, I don't know. It's an interesting thing to engage with someone and put their voice on air and have them like feel differently about themselves and their story. I think that's like an overlooked, just amazing thing about podcasts is like giving voice to people who've never thought that their story would end up anywhere or that anyone would want to listen to them. So yes, about like, and also Brooklyn has what, 3.5 million people. Like that's a huge audience. So if we're only reaching people who attend libraries in Brooklyn, like that's pretty good, I think. But then yes, also like we were on the radio in New Zealand for some crazy reason. And that happened like 2 years ago. And I'm not sure it's happened since, but like that, when that happens, that's always fun. And then also the listeners outside of Brooklyn who we would get are also library people. So like other libraries across the country, particularly public libraries, will sometimes write in and say like, I've never, you know, heard this kind of what I experience in my branch too, about like these kinds of patrons who I have to serve in a certain way. Thank you for saying that story. Like I connected with it this way. So I think we either tell Brooklyn's story or we tell a public library story, and we're reaching a lot of the people who already care about those places and things.
It's a good point. Like different libraries, I would think that would be a good resource for them for programming or for other just like relatable experiences. It's funny that you say like you just kind of put it out in the ether, because literally this podcast came from that, where we were just like, we would listen and it's so singular. Like you're like, I listen to this podcast and I love it, but there's no one to tell about, you know, like that person had to have listened to it. And so we created this podcast just because we could fangirl and get other podcasters on. So we totally understand that experience. I guess our last kind of question is, do you have any favorite podcast you listen to or support? Doesn't have to be library focused. It can be any. Tell us all about them. We love Rex.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Krista, you want to take it first?
Oh my God. No, because I'm totally overwhelmed. I mean, like, it's like asking me which of my two children, my soon to be two children, will be my favorite child. I'm like, I listen to them all. I feel sort of boring because a lot of my favorite podcasts, I think, are really pretty big. And so like, they don't need my shout out. It's just terrible. But I mean, the podcast that I absolutely don't miss, and I have three different friends, all of whom are obsessed with it, and we all text each other about it every week, is Slate Culture Gabfest. And that's probably like naming, you know, I don't know, the Empire State Building is your favorite skyscraper. Like it's a very big podcast. But I think it does a singular job of sort of digesting like a good little piece of culture each week, and also just cultifying itself and its traditions and its host personalities and producers in this way that just makes it really delicious and stickable, I think, for a certain type of person, which is me and these three people I text with. But then other than that, I really, really adore like serial storytelling. Not so much like the true crime stuff, which for me is a little like, I don't know, it's not like hooky to me, but the Witness Docs folks and their Unfinished series, where they
I love Unfinished. Story
Short Creek, right, with the FLDS.
Ooh, there's Warren multiple. I think there's multiple seasons, right? Okay, I think I've watched a different season. Yeah.
My favorite one was the Short Creek one. But just that idea that you would sort of do a deep dive into a community or into a news story that happened, and then just, I hate to use the word double click into it, but just really like explode it out and spend 6 hours on this thing that was a headline 5 years ago. Similarly, Floodlines from the Atlantic.
That's about one Katrina. Of my favorites. It's so good.
I could not stop recommending it. I was like,
I recommended it at work.
100%. I was like, if you finish 2020, a year in which we're dealing with an epic cultural collapse, you know, like a physical collapse of some facet of society without listening to this show about the last time this happened in this country. Like, what are you even doing? You know? And so I feel like shows like that, that really just enrich and just embed into your brain a piece of history that we should all have had the bandwidth to kind of fully grok at that time, is just like catnip for me.
I also similarly like listen to podcasts that don't necessarily need my shout out, but a big inspiration for Borrowed, I guess, are a couple of shows. One is Radio Diaries. I don't know if you've heard that one. It's on PRX. And it's this guy, Joe Richman, who sort of like pioneered this thing called a radio diary, where he like in the 90s gave tape recorders to teenagers and they recorded just like what was going on in their day. And then he worked with them to create like half hour episodes about things they were going through. And they're just like incredible and intimate and really amazing. And then since then, he's done a bunch of like oral history type episodes about different events throughout time. And they're always like so fascinating. And they really feel like you get to know a person very intimately through their voice. I really love Kitchen Sisters. They always do something like funky and weird and use sound in unique ways and tell like really sort of like unique overlooked stories, which is also something we try to do on Borrowed. And then cooking podcast. I love Home Cooking. Did you guys listen to that one with Samin Nosrat?
I love her. I haven't listened to that show.
Oh, you should. It's real good.
Yep. It was a pandemic podcast for everyone cooking at home during the pandemic. And that got me through like a lot of really tough days during like the height of lockdown, I guess.
Co-recommend on that one.
Yeah.
I mean, famously amongst us three, I don't have any favorite podcasts. Like I listen to same things that people don't necessarily need a shout out for. But I love listening to other like Black female podcasters. So Lacey Mosley for Scam Goddess.
Oh, good.
And Nicole Byers on any of her podcasts, actually. But I also tried to create a program for the library where people can come together and talk about the podcast that they were listening to. And we'd had it themed per session. And so actually, I feel like your podcast, Do You Even Podcast, would be a great addition to that lineup of podcasts that we listen to later on, so that, you know, people can get even more podcast ideas of where to listen. So this is really special.
I love it. And, you know, wait, no judgment here. I listen to The Daily and Up First every single morning.
Right.
Like, it's okay if you want to shout out to a big one, but I appreciate that you want to give a shout out to a smaller one. But it's just so great because you can really, like, to your point, Chris, it's like you can really dive deep into something. And I feel like everyone is saying nowadays that like everyone's attention span is shot. And I get that, but I just love podcasts because I feel a little more redemption of like, we can pay attention. We can dive deep. And so I hope that continues on. And listening, you know, like radio listening when it first came out, like it's a family event. And I listen to podcasts in the car with my family. And I just find that such a cool way to like give your eyes a break. And so we're here for any pod. And I'm very, very excited to start listening to some of these. So thank you.
My husband, who's pandemic podcast listening, has been one of those people that's tanked, you know, because like some people, I mean, I think it's changed listening habits because people used to be addicted to commute listening.
Right.
And I keep being like, did you get that episode of, you know, of stuff that we used to listen to together? And he's like, I don't understand when you're doing all this listening. I'm like, anytime you see me with AirPods in, I'm listening to a podcast. Like, I'm not listening to music. I'm listening to, like, my house is still a place in which I can listen to podcasts, you know? I do think that it is like a wonderful way to keep thinking about things while you're doing other things. And also like in this pandemic, like actually kind of get you out of your house, right? Like you're literally leaving the space in your mind, even when we're not leaving the space at all.
True.
And I just want to do a shout out for audiobooks because we're a library. And like, Chris's, yeah, what you were saying, like whenever my earphones are and I'm listening to a podcast, that's me, but with audiobooks. So the Libby app is something that anyone can download and just get, maybe you guys have already like pub this on your show, but getting audiobooks for free, like I just take a friend with me, like every time I go walk the dog. Yeah, it's an amazing way to consume literature too.
No, I'm very glad you said that. And before we go, a lot of, since it is library card sign up month, I know a lot of people during the pandemic, a lot of libraries have moved their process online and made it more readily available there. So if our listeners are in Brooklyn, how do they sign up for a library card?
They literally go to our website, and as long as they live, not just in Brooklyn, folks, all New York City residents can get a library card for free. And if you really want to game the system, you can get all free systems library cards, and then you can download all the eBooks you want. But we have sort of started to move our process to e-card first, so that we'll be able to just get you checking out, even before you come into a branch and prove that you're a resident. But we do offer an e-card that means you can sign up from home, and you've got a limited amount of downloads and e-content you can absorb. And of course, we did that because when we were actually physically closed, which was only 3 months, we still wanted people to get to the books they needed. But now we do also still process library cards in our branches, all of which are open, all of which want to see your faces again, even if it's behind a mask.
Yes.
Our e-usage was out of control, as was, I think, every other libraries in America. And we, I think, were very proud of the way in which we responded to that and tried to front load it for people, tried to remove a lot of gatekeeping and barriers to that content. You know, now it's almost routine that if there's something that we're trying to plug, or there's an initiative, or for, Black History Month, like taking 20 titles and making them always available instead of having to have to wait for things, just trying to do as much as we can to put materials in people's hands in whatever way that they're ready to consume them while we're all still half in lockdown.
Yeah, perfect. Then go, and if you, I mean, I'm preaching to the choir, but as a library person who works with libraries on the regular, if you are a library user, go and see what else your library is doing. Volunteer at the library, or just do anything that can help support them. So that's your challenge for me. But thank you guys for coming on. I don't know, Alex, there's anything else you want to say before we wrap up?
I just wanted to ask again, can you guys say when you're expecting the new season to drop, and just shout that out for folks so they can be ready with their headphones?
Oh my God, yes. So our 5-episode mini series, which is called Building Brooklyn, will drop on September 29th. And we will put them out every Wednesday after that for 5 weeks.
Perfect. We're so excited. You really piqued your interest on here.
Amazing.
So everyone go listen. Yes, just like Lainey said, thank you so much. This has been a wonderful conversation. I'm really excited for listeners to find you guys and just do a deep dive. But we appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
We loved having them on.
I know, so many good insights, and they were so kind. I loved everything they had to say, and we talked about all things like obviously community, but also books. So win-win.
Oh, and just a friendly reminder, get your library card. Even if you don't go to the library, support the library. Go to their events.
Do it.
You don't even have to check out the book. Just show them that you're there and supporting. Like, it's a really important. So,
yeah.
All right. Off my soapbox. Moving on.
I love it. Happy September.
Yeah. It's the only place where someone can walk in and they are equal. And it's not actively selling you something. Like, it's just, it's an important space.
Honestly, when was the last time you were somewhere and someone wasn't trying to sell you something? That is a really big deal.
I literally am like, anytime I'm in the city, I'm like, I have time to spare. I don't have nowhere to go. I'm like, to the library. Like, that's just a safe space all the time. And it's always been in my life. That's why I choose to work with libraries for my job. Yeah. But it's just really, really important. And if you don't support them, you never know what you're going to miss if it's not there. So we never want them to go away. So yes, support them. All right. Thank you to the Borrow team. And before we go,
it's time for Calendar Corner.
Calendar Corner.
September is a beautiful month. And we decided this go round to do some monthly, like, kind of holidays, some awareness months that you might know about and maybe you didn't know about. So what do we want to start with, Lainey?
Ooh, let's see. How about, I know we both have stuff for Hispanic Heritage Month.
Yes. Yeah, let's do that. That is September 15th through October 15th. I have one. I'm wondering which one you have too, Lainey. I have Alt Latino. So I love all things music, and Alt Latino is a really great, like, music pod in general. But they're taking over NPR Music's Tiny Desk. So that's going to be really cool through the month. So very excited for that. Keep checking, guys, all the way through October 15th. But also check out Alt Latino because it's a great pod in general. And the episodes are pretty, like, bingeable again, too.
Well, I just wanted to do a shout out because Oprah Online did one did a roundup. And it was called The Best Spanish and Latino Podcast for Learning and Laughing.
Ooh,
and
nice.
So we can put that link in the show notes, but two that I saw were Latino Rebels Radio. It's just like a humor, commentary, and analysis of the U.S. Latino world, or Latinx, if you will. And it's got a range of topics, but, you know, it's everything about Latinx community. And then one that I just am excited about is Anything for Selena. It's a 9-part series.
Oh my gosh.
Released in both Spanish and English. And it's hosted by Maria Garcia and highlights the legacy of Mexican American pop star Selena.
Nice.
So the episodes are largely divided her life, family, and her murder, and just all of the things Selena. So go check that out. And also there's a bonus episode with an interview with her husband. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Very so those cool. were two in that list, but there were several.
Nice, nice. Yeah, we'll put that link on the blog. Mm-hmm. It's also Classical Music Month. I love classical music. I play piano, so I've always loved it. But also with work now, sometimes I cannot listen to things with lyrics, and I need some good mm-hmm. classical music. So I've been obsessed. I can also get on a soapbox about contemporary classical. It's really fun. But anyway, I found a couple pods that if you are also a classical music fan, you might like. There's one called Aria Code. And so it's a show about the most famous arias in opera history. An aria, for those who do not know, is a self-contained piece for solo voice, usually accompanied by orchestra. But it often appears like in operatic pieces. And yeah, it's a really good show. They have a bunch of episodes. And then I also have a podcast called That Classical Podcast, which is great because it's all about classical music, but, like, they're also able to make you laugh. So it has, like, a little bit of humor, but also some great, like, stuff for classical, I don't know, music heads.
Also, it's Intergeneration Month. So yeah. I told you, you might hear Beth Stelling's name come back. So I picked her podcast, We Called Your Mom. And she and her mom get together and call celebrities' moms and talk to them. And so it's a little bit of an intergenerational
podcast.
I love that pod. So, super fun.
So good. So good.
And also, it's Self-Improvement Month. So, Alex, I wanted to shout out to Wake Up Wind Down because I've been listening to it and I really like it.
I love that show so much. It really, like, it got me through a period. I still listen to it now, but there was, like, a series of weeks where I was listening religiously, like, in the mornings. I wouldn't always listen at night. But it's so good.
Yeah, it's nice.
We have, like, one special one, which, like, I don't know, like, maybe you've heard of it. It's really important. National Podcast Day is September 30th. Whoop, whoop,
whoop, whoop, whoop, whoop, whoop. I just don't know where you're ever going to find podcast recommendations.
I don't know. That's going to be, like, really hard to figure out what you should listen to.
Maybe you should celebrate by listening to one of our mini podcasts.
Honestly, we have a lot of backlist. If you need a podcast rec, like, just listen. But definitely celebrate the day, guys, and listen to your favorite shows. Support your favorite creators. Let us know what you like. We love to hear your support, too. We also had a couple people we wanted to shout out. I want to shout out Emily Prokop, who we had on the show back season 4, episode 2. So it was back in January. Mm-hmm. We interviewed her. She has ePodcast Productions, which is really great. Like, she has a lot of podcasting experience. She's won awards, but she helps DIYers with their projects. If you're really interested in, like, creating a podcast or don't know where to start or need help getting it off the ground, you can go to her website at epodcastproductions.com. But yes, definitely, if you're feeling inspired by the day, like, reach out to her and maybe you could hire her to help you.
Yeah. And just a quick shout out for more podcast recommendations. Lauren Passel, the creator behind Podcast and Newsletter. She has so many recs on her website, so go check that out.
And that's a lovely September, y'all.
Yeah. Oh, and I didn't mention this in our news. So if you're looking for a podcast to get back into, the My Favorite Murder ladies are back. They took a hiatus.
Oh, so that's a big deal.
Yeah, jump in. So that's another podcast for you.
Perfect. Perfect. Ah, so many recs, so little time. Get to crack-a-lackin' on your pods, guys. We hope you enjoyed this. If there is something that like you really loved, let us know. If there's something else you want to see or hear, well, I guess hear, let us know. Or if you want to see it on the blog too. Speaking of, check out the blog at doyouevenpod.com. We love to hear from you guys, and we always want to know what's working and what else you want.
Happy September, and we'll see you next month for some spooky season podcast.
Spooky season! Get your cinnamon brews ready.